First Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a great mystery. Praise God. Chuck.
Thank you. Well, I tell you what, I'd like to come back here sometime and sit in an audience here and just have the kids give a sermon like that for a half hour. That'd be great, wouldn't it? We like variety. I mean, not every week, but that was good this morning. I was a kid this morning. I really enjoyed that. And then the music. My, wouldn't it be wonderful to just sit here for a half hour and listen to the violin? That would be spiritual. That would be really nice. My wife sings. My boy plays any instrument, sings. My girls, well, I have one girl that's like me. The choir director wanted her to join the choir. He said, you don't want that. Why? Well, I sing like my dad. And the choir director says, I don't want that. And so I have one child, but the other three took after my wife. We love music, and the only thing I told him was that we play the radio. That's all I can do is play the radio. But music is a beautiful thing. It's worship to God. Now, this morning I'd like to dwell on two things. Later on, I'm going to ask my wife to come forward and tell another story. You have the privilege to look forward very, very soon to the falling of the latter rain. And when that happens, certain people in this church will be used by God, and more miracles will be wrought as you're preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead. More miracles will be wrought than Jesus did. Jesus said that his disciples and we would down the last days and do more miracles than he did. And so Ellen White says, Jesus did a lot of miracles, disciples did more. All kinds of things happened in 1844 that were miracles. But when the latter rain falls, it'll be greater still. Now, the interesting thing is when that happens, who will be involved? In Great Controversy 606, thus the message of the third angel will be proclaimed as the time comes for it to be given with greater power. This is Revelation 18, great, the last call. It says that the Lord will work through who? Humble instruments, leading the minds of those who consecrate themselves to his service. The laborers would be qualified by the unction of the Holy Spirit more than by training in our colleges and universities. Men of faith and prayer will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal, declaring the works which God gives them. You need to read the last few verses of this chapter, the final warning, which takes off with Revelation 18 as the starting point for this chapter. And towards the end of the chapter, it emphasizes two or three times that the latter rain will take the message to the world by all of us, some pastors, some laymen, some of them with education, some without. Everyone who's consecrated and has asked for the Holy Spirit will be used. And what will happen? It says here that the angel who unites in this proclamation of the third angel's message is to lighten the whole earth. Jesus says when the whole earth is reached, then what will happen? He says, I will come. He will lighten the whole earth with his glory. Now, a work of worldwide extent and power is here foretold. The Advent movement of 1840 and 1844 in those 4 years was a glorious manifestation of the power of God. The first angel's message was carried to every missionary station in the world. In some countries, there was the greatest religious interest which has been witnessed in any land since the Reformation of the 16th century. But these are to be exceeded by the mighty movement under this last warning that's foretold in Revelation 18. The work will be similar to that of the day of Pentecost. As the former rain was given in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the opening of the gospel to cause upspringing of the precious seed, so the latter rain will be given at its close for the ripening of the harvest. This is then shall we know that if we follow on to know the Lord, is going forth to prepare it as the morning, and he shall come to us as the rain, as the latter rain and the former rain upon the earth. Hosea 6:3. And it talks about, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the former rain and the latter rain. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So don't think just because you're over 70, you're exempt. And I tell you, if you're over 70, you don't have a relationship with God, you are exempt. But young and old and everyone who has that relationship, it will be poured out. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. And I like this. The great work of the gospel is not to close with less manifestation of the power of God than marked its opening. The prophecies which were fulfilled in the outpouring of the former rain at the opening of the gospel are again to be fulfilled in the latter rain at its close. Servants of God with their faces lightened up and shining with holy consecration will hasten from place to place and proclaim the message from heaven. Another place that says they'll go from place to place with the Bible in their hand. Remember the Duquesne projector? I found a place in Isle of Wight that says they'll go from place to place with a Duquesne projector in their hand. No, it didn't say that, did it? It didn't say video projector. It says a Bible. Going door to door with a Bible in their hand. And listen to this. Miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed, and signs and wonders will follow the believers. How about that? And again it says this message will be carried not so much by argument as by deep conviction of the Spirit of God. So it says that the publications that we've been supporting through the decades will set the stage for us to go out then with the Bible in our hand, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and some were highly educated in the schools, and some of you that were educated by your walk through life, because you have the Spirit of God in your life, because you've been saved, he's going to use you. Now, it also foretells about people that will leave the message. Some of them will be church members that are not in what we call the ministry. There'll be several ministers leave the message and work against us. But what happens when somebody tries to work against God and his Holy Spirit? They fail. You're going to walk in the lion's den. You're going to walk in the fiery furnace. You win because God's with you. Well, so again, I started to say there's two points I'd like to talk upon this morning that we can look forward to. One is this latter rain that I believe is already beginning to start. And the other is the resurrection. If you're alive when Jesus comes, and I'm almost 77. I see all of you are younger than I am. When Jesus comes, it's going to be something. There'll be lightning and there'll be earthquakes and there'll be thunder. What else will there be? Lightning, thunder, earthquakes. Yeah. People popping out of the sea, people popping out of the dirt. It says it's going to be a dark day. The stars are going to fall again. And you know, with all that happening, some people think they're going to miss it. That's what they preach. Are we going to miss the coming of Jesus? No. And won't that be thrilling to see if we're still alive? Because I'll be standing here with my 80, whatever I am when he comes. And it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, and we will see the dead pop up. And then we will be changed. This corruptible body. See, they'll come up with a body that's not corruptible. But our corruptible body will suddenly, in that moment in twinkling of an eye, will change to an incorruptible body. Now, do you look forward to that? Man, I remember I was telling the folk that I was in seventh grade. In the middle of the year, this beautiful blonde girl walked in, and she gets tired of me telling the story, but I was better than anybody else in math. And I always did my math before the math period was over. And everybody just took their math home, and some finished it and some didn't. And if I didn't quite finish it, I'd take the first 2 or 3 minutes of recess to finish it. Well, that day I didn't quite finish it. And she walks up to us, kind of help you with your math. I no longer was the smartest math person in the class. And then we went out and we played tetherball, and I had beat everybody in tetherball, but she beat me in tetherball. And I went home then and I did something really neat. I wrote her initials on my chest with a pen. And it so happened that she was working at a place since she was 10 years old, and I had my own business when I was 14. And so when she was 18 and I was 19, we got married, and we knew more than anybody else. And we knew so much that by the time we were about 22, we realized we didn't know more than anybody else. That's when we really learned a few things, you see. And God was good to us. But what I'm saying is we were young. We were strong. We never thought about dying. We never thought about getting old. How about you? You remember that? Young, full of energy. And, of course, they were telling us that Jesus was going to come before we got old anyway, weren't they? But just think, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and we shall be changed. This corruptible body of ours will put on incorruption. This mortal body of ours will put on immortality. Now, corruptible means that you have a body that gets older and older and older and more weak all the time. Mortal means that you have a body that's going to die at some point. But suddenly, in that moment, we're going to get that perfect body. And most of you had the best body when you were 26, 27 years of age. That was your peak. Well, when that moment happens, the body you're going to get is going to be better than that body. Because that 26, 27-year-old body had something in it that would make you start to die. Maybe every 10 years you got looked older and older and older until you finally die. But when Jesus does that thing, we'll get a body that we never get old. The only thing that happens to us is we get more intelligence. We learn more about the love of God. Can you imagine that? You remember the strength and the vitality you had when you were 26 years of age? I remember my wife, she had this child in this hand, and one holding on her skirt as she's walking down the street. Well, we now can take care of our great-grandchild really good during the week for about 1 hour. And I tell you what, I haven't changed diapers for decades. And what you folk did when you were young, what I did when I was young, it was marvelous. I watch people today. But I also noticed something else. The young people today don't have, for the most part, what we had. We got to work. Maybe we didn't think we got to work, but we got to work. We learned what work was. And so when we were 19 and 18, we knew more about life than the people that are raised today when they're 35. They may know something about the books, but common sense. Not because we're better than them, but because we had more opportunity than they did. So are you looking forward to the time that Jesus is going to resurrect you or give you new bodies? Well, I want to talk about what's happening around the world today now. Beverly and I had the privilege of going to Ireland for 4 years as missionaries. We did a lot of research before we went there. And we found that Patrick was taken in when he was 16, captured and taken to Ireland, and after 6 years of being forced labor, he was let go and he went back to his hometown. We believe he lived in France, across the Irish Sea. Bunch of beautiful stories we know because I have a biography that Patrick wrote. You can go on the internet and read that. And you find out that he kept the 7-day Sabbath. He understood everything we understand today. But when he was 43, and that's kind of interesting because I was 43, my wife was 43 when we were asked to go to Ireland. When he was 43, God started giving him messages, dreams. And in these dreams, he saw and heard, "Oh, Holy One, come back and talk to us." He heard that over and over. He hadn't married yet, and he never did marry. He was very tall, blonde, good-looking fellow. And so he broke his parents' heart when he told them he'd going back to Ireland. He got to Ireland, and there were all kinds of areas controlled by different chiefs. He went to the chief. Said, "I want to start a school and I want to start a church, and I want you to know I'm not into politics," and they gave him permission. And after many, many, many years, he was sending missionaries throughout the world. So you go back to the early church, they went throughout the world. That missionary movement, the early reign, they went throughout the world. And then for different political church reasons, God took a place way back where nobody hardly lived and sent a group throughout the world. That went on to several generations. Really interesting stories how some of the folk took off from Ireland and then went to Scotland. In the 6th century, there were over 100 churches in England that kept a seven-day Sabbath. And I can tell you some stories about what we found out about the written history that we came across of Patrick teaching the Sabbath in Ireland. But then that kind of went by the wayside after a few centuries, and God raised up the Huguenots, the Waldenses, and they sent missionaries throughout the world, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th century. And then we had the Reformation. You can say it started with several people before Luther was involved in it. And then in the 16th and the 17th century, particularly the 17th century, not the 18th century, the 1700s, England was in charge of sending missionaries throughout the world. Throughout the world. They went everywhere. And then that kind of went by the wayside. That was what we call the 1700s, the 18th century, or the 1700s. Then come the 19th century, or would be the 1800s, who sent all the missionaries out? From 1804, almost all the missionaries went out from America. So they went to every country of the world. Dedicated. They didn't understand the Sabbath, but they certainly understood saved by grace, and they did a wonderful job. And that pretty well all through the 1800s. So the 1700s, it was England. The 1800s was America. And then that kind of went by the wayside. And then God raised up another movement that took over in 1900, sent missionaries throughout the world. And what was that? The Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thousands of missionaries from 1900 went throughout the world. Who are some of the missionaries who went to China? You remember Dr. Miller? He will go on and on. I have a collection of missionary biographies of most of the people that went out. But that began to fade by the wayside. By 1965-70, we were still sending missionaries out from the General Conference, but not like 1900 to 1950. We were just sending them out like everything. So then God raised up within our church different organizations, and many of them were self-supporting. Can you think of some self-supporting organizations sending missionaries out? Maranatha goes out and builds churches. That's wonderful, and schools and hospitals. But what about the missionaries? Frontier Missions and others? Between these self-supporting missionaries that work hand in glove with the church and the missionaries the church send out, we have scores of missionaries. But then we still have a problem. Where in the beginning of 1900, we had missionaries in Iraq, Iran. I have books on it. We've had them not only in South Vietnam, we had them in North Vietnam. We had a doctor that started a hospital in North Vietnam. Missionaries throughout the world. But those countries became closed. We no longer could send missionaries to Iraq, Iran. We're having problems in India now. I was in India in June, and I did a month series of meetings there. And the president of India is a Hindu, and it's religious persecution against Christians there. And I could not advertise. And if they knew I was there doing meetings, I would have been, you know. We had Dwayne McKee here 2 or 3 years ago doing some work, and they had to run for their lives. And as they were driving away in the buses, they were throwing stuff at the windows and everything. I forgot what section of India that was. But while I was in India, there were 7 of us doing crusades in that town. In another part of India, there were 200 Methodist ministers that asked the Seventh-day Adventists to come and talk to them during June. Now they are making ready to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church. God is leading in marvelous ways, and much of it now is because of this radio. We have many communist countries. We have many pagan countries. We have many Muslim countries that we just can't really go in. But we have certainly given these little radios, and you can wind it up to build electricity, or you can get it from the sun, or there's even a place, I think here, you can plug it into electricity if you have electricity, and you can listen to. Adventist World Radio is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful concept. It started in the 50s, and they were placed in Guam. And the dirt is so clay-like that they finally figured out how to do it. They got these big semis. We're able to dig these big holes and fill the semis full of cement and put it down in, and that's what they put these 300 and some feet towers on. And just last week I was in Florida and met the couple that started that. And they had pictures of his wife up there 300 feet on this tower. It was really something else. And they're sending shortwave messages in. About 8 years ago, we came across something we didn't know. We talk about South Vietnam, back in the hills. We found several thousand people that were keeping the Sabbath, knew the health messages and everything. We had no contact, but we just found them, many villages after another villages. They say there was a big, tall man that went through the villages, and he would go to the head man in the village, and he'd give them a radio and talk about what they could do with it. And he made such an impression, the head man would call his people together every so often, and they'd listen to the radio. One radio for the whole village. And over a period of time, thousands and scores of villages have become Sabbath keepers. Now, God has his ways. There was an Indian chief before America was invaded by us Caucasians. And he lived across the border in Canada. And back in a little ways, I think only about 40, 50 miles away from the ocean there. And he was a chief, and he loved his people, and he started praying, God, please help me to be a good leader for my people. And he began to be visited by an angel. The angel taught him the Sabbath, taught him the health reform, taught him everything. And they were Seventh-day Adventists 100 years before we ever existed. And the angel told him, you're going to be invaded by a white race. There's going to be big buildings along the coast. Well, when he died, his son took over, and his son did the same thing, was visited by angels. I remember reading that story in the Review about 15 years ago. When I was at camp meeting representing AWL, Dwayne McKee came, and he says, this Sabbath, we're baptizing five more. I said, five more what? Well, you know, the rebels up in the mountains of the Philippines that fight the Filipino government for years, and up to now, we have baptized more than 20 Filipino rebel generals, plus scores of soldiers. They come, and they give their rifles, and we give them a Bible. Now, what do we do with the rifles? Automatic rifles. What do we do with them? Well, we give them to the government so they can shoot the rebels. Do we do that? Do we give them back to the other rebels so they can shoot the government? We dig a hole and we bury them. But God is working. They're way up in the mountains. They go up there, you're shot. But somehow they got some of these radios up there and they start to listen and they called us. And they made arrangements that we could take a helicopter up there. And we sent doctors up there. And they worked and helped some of the soldiers that were sick. And the Filipino government's having a really hard time. They're so mad at these soldiers that they want to kill them. But they're so happy that they're putting their guns down. And we're trying to work with the government. You know what? Why don't you let them come back to town and let them represent you now? You'll be far ahead. Don't kill them. Well, there's many, many things happening. Many, many miracles. One Muslim country, a Muslim was starting to listen to the radio. Over a period of time, he accepted Sabbath, and he accepted everything. And he has now 8 home churches, one of his home and others, that he is organizing himself, where we can't go in at all. So let me go back to what I started to say. In the 21st century, God is using AWR to go to the world. Now, he's still using the other missionaries and our church and you, but we're going to the whole world now. And something really interesting has happened. If you read in Isaiah, there's verses that talk about highways to heaven, highways that are being developed here and there. And almost every time that word highway is used, it refers to opening up the gospel. And so if you want to go home and have some fun, because I'd like to give you those texts, but you look them up. And it says that just before Jesus comes, highways are going to be developed in Assyria and Egypt. Now, when Isaiah was written, what did Assyria represent? Assyria included Iraq, Iran, Syria. So just before Jesus comes, like Russia opened up in 2000 for the gospel, in which the Adventist Church sent thousands of ministers to preach from every country and do series of meetings in Russia. And I got to do one of those meetings, 6 weeks, in 2003. The Bible says that Iraq and Iran and Syria, very, very hard for preaching Jesus, is going to open up. Does that make you happy? Well, I want to tell you something now. We just got word that because of what has happened in Turkey as well. There's an opening to a radio station in Iraq that we can buy for $100,000 with all the equipment inside. Do you have a radio station here? I put up a radio station in Coos Bay. I know what they cost. But it was a miracle what we did it for, but I won't take time for that. But there's a radio station that we can buy for $100,000 with everything in it. And who are we buying it from? We're buying it from the Kurds. Now, you remember Media Persia? Is Persia still alive today? Yeah, Iran. All right. Is Media still alive today? No. Media is the Kurds. The Kurds is Media. You go home and look it up. The Kurds are Media. And so we have this opportunity to buy this radio station that will particularly beam out, not shortwave, but in their language, to the Kurds. And we can also then put some messages for the Iraqis and also for Iran. And this just became available for $100,000. So they also need $35,000 to develop all of the religious prophecy health programs into the Kurds language. But the first thing we must do is buy the radio station. And my wife and I are selling a piece of property, and so we're going to send $25,000. If anybody has an interest in helping to buy this radio station, it's planted in an area that we don't have a radio station. Now, we have over 1,000 radio stations. Did you know that? 1,000 radio stations that we own. Just 200 or 300 years ago, it bloomed like everything. Now, some of you remember a fellow by the name of Dwayne McKee. How many know that name, Dwayne McKee? He was asked here about 3 years ago to take over Adventist Radio, and for some reason, whatever time he touches something, it explodes. But I'm sure that God knew that there was an explosion, and he wanted somebody who knew how to make it to live with an explosion, and so God put him there. And so now we have hundreds of radio stations we're broadcasting from, plus we own 1,000. Does that excite you? God is about ready to touch you folk. The lettering's about ready to fall. And we're going to be used. Our mouth that doesn't speak, suddenly we're going to start speaking. And God's going to use us, and we're going to be doing miracles. And Sarah, at 100 years of age, suddenly was strong enough to have a baby. You may be old, but God is going to give you strength and the ability. And I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? So I'm going to ask my wife to tell you one quick story here about Adventist Radio. Now, I want to say something I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that as a Seventh-day Adventist, that my church has offered so many different ministries that I can support. Some of them are self-supporting, and some of them are run by the General Conference. Are you thankful for that? Yes, Beverly?
I know our family was just thrilled when we heard the stories about the Philippines. My son, who is a brain surgeon down by Loma Linda, married a lovely Filipino girl, and they had one child who died in utero. And we're looking forward to the coming of Jesus and helping with the work in the Philippines in her honor. Okay. Through the bedroom closet, in the still of the night, Hannah quietly slips into her bedroom closet and closes the door. When she is doing what she is doing, must be done in utmost secrecy. She can't tell anyone, not even her own church members or family. Only her husband knows. In her country, she will be arrested if the police find out about her activities. So everything must be kept hidden from the suspicious eyes of police and informants. Hannah is an AWR radio producer in an undisclosed country where she has kept up this nightly routine every day for the past 15 years. She alone does the work of creating Bible-based radio programs which highlight Jesus and his truth. In her day job, she's a high-level television reporter. But after hearing the truth of Jesus and the Bible, she surrendered her life to him. There grew in her a desire to share with others this precious truth she had discovered. So Hannah began her secret nightly work. Undaunted by the danger of being caught, she feels it's a blessing and a joy to be used by God to share this blessed message. The response to her programs have been amazing. She regularly receives correspondence from students, sailors, housewives, engineers, office workers, and many, many others. All want to learn more about God and the Bible. Hannah said recently, "This is not me reaching people. It is God's power, because without him, I can't do anything." And I know, I don't know about you, but I tell everybody at my tender age, I don't feel I can even cross the road and keep it straight without the Lord taking my hand. I don't know about you. I recently met Hannah in another country where she came to preach her first evangelistic series. She's a quiet, petite, unassuming woman, but God is using her in an amazing way right from her bedroom closet. And that story is just so touching that she is doing for 15 years. She's quietly carried on this wonderful ministry. And AWR can go where we can't go. It can cross borders. It can go into homes in huge cities. I know one time I was in a big city and I sat there and thought, these huge buildings with all these people, how do we reach these people? But the airwaves can go where we can't go. Thank you.
So this gentleman and his wife, they're returning from the mission field in the early 1900s. Roosevelt was president, Teddy Roosevelt. They got on the ship. Teddy Roosevelt and his gang got on the ship. And there was a band that greeted him on the ship. The captain met him and ate dinner with him on the ship all the way to America. And this missionary and his wife that gave everything to the mission field that were now broke and money, broken health on the way home, nobody recognized him and he felt pretty bad. And then when they got to New York City, the governor and the mayor was there with a band to greet Teddy Roosevelt, and this missionary and his wife quietly left the ship and nobody greeted them. They went to the south side of town, found a cheap little motel, hoping to find a little job. And that night, he was really bitter, and he was talking to his wife about it. And his wife said, you need to go talk to the Lord about that. So he went in, and he started praying to the Lord, and he was sad, and his face was dark. A short time later, he came out from the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. It was like a very shiny light, and his wife said, "What happened?" "The Lord settled it for me," he said. "I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us to welcome us home. And when I finished it, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and he simply said," and what did the Lord tell him? How many have heard this story? "You're not home yet. So soon we'll be home." I went to Coos Bay in 2000, June. And the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, being the next day, after prayer meeting in Bandon, I went out into the country to visit a lady who was dying of brain cancer. Very unusual lady. She was a twin. And her sister says, "You come and live with me while you die." And both of them got married to loggers. And her sister married a logger that knew how to take care of a woman and was a good man. She married a logger that didn't know how to take care of a woman, but was a good man. Her sister out in the hills of Oregon had a little cabin with a bathroom and a little heater and a bathtub. She had a tent, and there was a tree to go potty behind, and there was water from the creek. Then they went off to Alaska, and her sister's husband had a cabin with a heater and a bathtub, and she had a cabin with a bucket to go potty and very, very cold. And she had a baby. And the baby died because it was too cold. Husband came home. I had her funeral and met the whole family. He saw that. He picked up the baby without saying he left. Came back sometime later and says, "Where's my baby?" He wouldn't talk. And for 50 years, every so often, "Where's my baby?" He wouldn't talk. But that wasn't the worst of it. She had another baby. And it died because of the cold. And husband came home and walked out with the baby and came back and wouldn't talk. The state of Alaska never knew two babies were born and never knew two people had died. And so I was visiting this lady several times out on the ranch. And she lit up everybody's light. Everybody that came to see her, the hospice people, everybody was talking about, she made you feel like you were in the presence of God. And I was looking forward to that meeting again after a prayer meeting, got to the place about 8:45. Her face was as black as the ace of spades. She was just agitated as could be. And, you know, I can't sing, but I didn't want her sister to hear me sing because I don't sing very well. So I got close to her ear and I started singing, "Jesus Loves Me." And I thought at least she'd laugh at it, but she never, it happened to one other lady who found peace and died, but it didn't find her peace for her. So finally, I was discouraged. I read her Bible text. I did everything I could. I left. 2:00 in the morning, her sister got up to check on her. And as she walked towards that room, it was lit up. And she opened the door. The lights were off, but the room was lit up like a spotlight. And this lady was shining like a spotlight. And her sister says, "You must have been visited by an angel." She says, I was. "What did the angel say?" "The angel says I was going to die real soon. And then Jesus is going to come real soon." Now, this was 2000. Jesus is going to come real soon. "And I'll be coming, of course. I'll be coming with Jesus. And I'm going to meet you at the graveside. And I'm going to give you your two babies. Would that make you light up like a light?" Now, I'll tell you the story is, it's been 19 years now, and Jesus hasn't come. But 20 years is soon. If it's 30 years, that's still soon for 6,000 years to go by since Adam sinned. And so when Jesus comes, we're going to be greeted. That'll be the homecoming. Who's going to greet us? The Bible tells us in Luke 9:26 that the Father is going to be there. And the angels are going to be there to greet us. They're coming to greet us. The Holy Spirit never left. It's going to be here. How many angels? Thousands times thousands and hundreds of thousands. Over 10 million. Then the Bible says that they're going to be the 144,000 if you're resurrected. They'll be alive. They'll be there to greet you when you're resurrected. And the Bible says there's going to be that great multitude you can't number. And of course, there's going to be some people that have been resurrected through the ages that's going to be there. Then, when everybody is resurrected, you're going to have your relatives and your grandmas and grandpas and parents and children who have died. They're all going to be resurrected and we'll be greeting each other. And we had our oldest daughter die in 2006, a nurse. And Beverly says to me, you know, we have to comfort one another. He says, when Jesus comes, he's going to be coming in the clouds and all those millions of angels, and he's going to be above all of them with a smile on his face. And then the dead are going to be resurrected, and all of us will be made new with new bodies, and we rise up in family groups together. And guess who we're going to see again? Rebecca. And Jesus is going to look over the span of all the people that are resurrected, and all the families put back together, and he's going to say, "And some people thought I couldn't do this, but he's going to do it." And then we're going to have a new body, we're going to have a new character, and in the end, after 1,000 years, we're going to have a new earth, a new environment. Now, I'd like to read to you from the Bible how that be, but I'm going to take this couple minutes to read to you. I could tell you an example of the past, but this is how it's going to be in the future when Jesus comes at that resurrection. This is the way it's going to happen. The Bible says that the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. Revelation 1:7. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel. 1 Thessalonians 4. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at that last trump, for the trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and then we will be changed. For this, those of us still alive, this corporal body will put on incorruption, and this mortal body will put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15. Then it says, he will send his angels with a shout of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four corners of the earth. Matthew 23. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4. And it says then that John tells us that God will remake the earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there will be no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write these words, for they are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha, I am Z, I am Alpha, I am Omega. I am the beginning, I am the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. That's a good thing to look forward to, isn't it? And you know, folks, you can look forward to being used by the Holy Spirit in a magnificent way dealing with the latter rain. And when probation closes, not one Christian will lose his life from that point on, because nobody can be saved by it. And then if you're still alive then, you see all these things happen. If you're not alive, the Bible says there's a special resurrection where you'll be resurrected, and those in the last days that died, the third angel's message, and you will see it happen anyway. So all of you get to see it one way or another if you have a relationship with the Lord. You know, folk, there's no other church that teaches you those two great things that are going to happen. No other church. And you're going to have the privilege to be used by the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. And even though you have that privilege now, but in a greater way, to share these two points with all kinds of beings that you haven't even met yet. Let's stand and we'll have our prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the future. We thank you for all the people that we will meet and greet during this great homecoming. We thank you, Father, for the fact that we have relatives. Some are young, some are children, some are old grandpas and grandmas and brothers and sisters and moms and dads that we will see again. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to use us in the future during the latter rain, and you can use us now with our thoughts, our actions, our finances to make things happen that you're in charge of. In Jesus' name, amen.